Good morning, church. I believe the Lord has a word for us this morning. I'd like for us to just pray together. As always, we want to invite God to speak into our heart and life. He knows what we need better than we do ourselves. So let's pray and ask Him to speak to us now. Father, I just thank You, Lord, that You are always faithful, Lord, to speak to us, Lord, when we open our hearts to hear, to receive what You're saying. I ask You, Father, today, Lord, that You would help me to say exactly what You want me to. Father, I pray as always that I will say what is right about You. And I pray, Father, that faith will come as we hear Your word. I pray, Father, that fear will be driven out. And I pray, Father, that new freedom will come in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that there'll be freedom from worry, freedom from stress, freedom from the burdens of this life that weigh us down. Lord, I pray that many will find rest for their souls this morning. Lord, even as we hear Your word, Lord, accomplish in us what You desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 22 this morning. It's a well-known story about Abraham taking his son Isaac to sacrificing to the Lord, as the Lord had commanded him to. One of the strangest stories of the Bible, that God would ask someone to sacrifice their son. But in this story, it reveals something about the Lord that all of us need to know every day of our life. We're going to start in Genesis 22, verse 1. Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Notice it says, God tested Abraham. Many times in a time of testing, that is exactly when we understand, we see, we get a greater revelation of God, of who He is and how He wants to work in our life. And that's exactly what happened to Abraham in this story. Testing. Anybody being tested right now? I'm not talking about getting a coronavirus test. I'm talking about going through a test, a trial, something that's going to try you, something that's going to prove you and move you on in your faith and your trust in God, take you to another level, bring you to a place where you know the Lord more intimately. Verse 2, he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. It's amazing that the Lord testified of Abraham's love for his son. You see, we need to realize as we read this story, and some of us have known this story, well, for decades. We've known it all our lives. Well, we just need to get a little bit of the real thing of what was going on here for this man. This wasn't easy for Abraham. See, we know the outcome now. And by faith, I guess Abraham knew the outcome, but it couldn't have been easy for him to take this son that he loved so much. It wasn't a small thing. Remember, he had prayed and believed for this son until he was over 100 years old. And now the Lord is asking him to do an unspeakable thing. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning. Early in the morning. It's like, let's get this over. Let's get this done. I think I would have had to pray about it for a couple of years. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if the Lord told me to do something like that, I think I would have had to seek counsel for a while. I'd have to talk to a lot of other people about it, because surely I must not have heard right. I think I would have gone back to God and said, Lord, are You sure that You know what You're doing? Do You really understand what You're asking of me? But you know what? Abraham, he got up early the next morning.
He was quick to obey the Lord. And he saddled his donkey and he took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. This wasn't some little short trip. As on the third day, he saw it afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Now, when he says, "We will come back to you," those are prophetic words from Abraham, the man of God, because he spoke exactly what was going to happen. The lad and I will come back to you. And yes, they did. Hebrews 11:19 tells us that he was sure that God would raise Isaac from the dead when he did what God had told him to do. He was sure that him and Isaac were coming back down from the mountain. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And here are more prophetic words spoken from the heart of faith. Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. These prophetic words of what was about to happen, that God was going to provide the lamb. And those words were immediately fulfilled in this story, but they are also prophetic words that God would provide a lamb in the Lord Jesus Christ, the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Verse 9, "Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son." How could he? Because he just trusted the Lord that much. Abraham knew him on a different level than most of us do. Abraham had learned to trust the Lord. For many, many, many years, he believed the promise of God that this son was coming. You see, this wasn't his first test. And it's amazing how oftentimes God prepares us for what's next. How could this be? He trusted the Lord that much. Verse 11 says, "But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.'" Notice he says, "Now I know." I want to talk to you about this for just a minute, because this is one of those verses that a lot of people just kind of get mixed up in their understanding of who God is and how he works. I want you to know this. The Lord is omniscient. That means he knows everything. He knows the beginning and the end and everything in between. He is never surprised. He knows you. He knows what you're going to do before you do it. Romans 8:29 says that he foreknew us. And I want to tell you that the Lord certainly knew Abraham. And he knew what Abraham would do. He was not setting Abraham up for some kind of, you know, possible failure here. That's not what was happening. You see, the first thing we need to understand about this statement is that this is an infinite God speaking to man in a way that man can understand. And when he says, now I know, he's saying, now it has been revealed. He knew it was in Abraham, but now it's been proven. He's talking about an experiential knowledge. Just like you can know that the Lord is your healer. I mean, you can take God's word for it. You can read it in the scripture where he says, I'm the Lord that heals you. And you can know that the Lord is your healer. But when the Lord heals you, you know it in a different way. You have an experiential knowledge. You know, I asked my wife, I said, do you really know that I love you? She says, yes, I do. I said, well, do you want me to show it? Guess what she said? She said, yes, she knows I love her, but she wants to see it. And I want you to understand that God wanted Abraham to prove it. He wanted to see it. He knew it was in Abraham, but he wanted Abraham to make that choice. Abraham had such great faith. We call him the father of faith. And everybody knows about Abraham now, and everybody knows about his faith. But you know what? Without this test, we probably would never have even have heard of Abraham. This test was something that Abraham needed to experience. This test was not for God's benefit, but it was to do a work in Abraham. James 1, 3 and 4 tells us that when we go through a trying of our faith, that character is developed in us, that we are complete, that we are mature. You see, it's through that test, it's through that perseverance and going through that trial that we become mature and complete, that God is working something in us. And you know what? That was certainly true of Abraham. His faith was tested, it was proved, it was revealed through the test. And you see, it became a testimony and an example to all who have followed, to everyone that knows about Abraham. What an example of faith and trust in God. The Lord knew what Abraham would do, and he knew what Job would do. Remember the story of Job, how that Satan comes before the Lord, and the Lord says to Satan, have you beheld my servant Job, a perfect man, upright, hates evil? And Satan says, but he only serves you because you are protecting him. And you know the rest of the story, that Job was tried and tested in every way. At the end of the story, God blessed him with twice over what he had before. But in Job 23 and 10, this is what Job says. He says, when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. He knew, Job knew, that when this was all over, that he was going to come forth as gold on the other side. And you know what? You need to know that whatever test, whatever trial you might be facing right now, it is not to destroy you. It is to take you to another level in your faith. It is to bring you into a place where you know God in a deeper way, where you know Him more intimately. Oftentimes, when we go through that test, that we receive a greater revelation of who God is. And that's what happened here for Abraham. Verse 13, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up, a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Now, the King James Version, it doesn't translate it. It just says Jehovah Jireh. Now, the modern translators, they translate that for us. What Jehovah Jireh means? It means the Lord provides. And we need to know the Lord personally that way. We need to know that the Lord is my provider. I'm telling you, there are a lot of people right now whose faith is shaken, a lot of people who are struggling right now in this area. We need to know for certain, the Lord is my provider. And I hope that you understand that sometimes it is through the difficult times, that's where we get that deeper revelation, where we experience that and we really know it. He's my provider. Now, you notice that Abraham didn't look up and say, oh, a ram. How convenient. How lucky. Look what I found. He said, the Lord provided. I want you to know that a lot of times God provides for people and they just think, oh, this just happened. No, God provided. It didn't just appear there. I got a check in the mail. Wow, the Lord provided. I'm just telling you, we need to realize that God is our provider. He's the one that's taking care of us. That ram didn't just appear there. God put it there. And Abraham, the man of God, the friend of God, the father of faith, he recognized that. He said, the Lord provides, Jehovah Jireh. He knew immediately it was the Lord that provided. In Genesis chapter 14, it tells a story about how Abraham's nephew, Lot, and many others have been taken captive. And Abraham and his men, they go and they rescue Lot and these other people. And when it's all over, the king of Sodom, he wants to give Abraham a reward of some kind. And by the way, it says Abram there, but this is Abram turned Abraham. He wants to give him a reward of some kind. And Abram says, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing, not even a thread of a sandal strap from you, so that you can never say I made Abraham rich. And here's what I want to say about that. He knew that God was his source, and he was not going to allow anybody else to take credit for the blessing of God on his life. I'm just telling you, Abraham knew the Lord already as his provider. He looked to God as his source, him alone. And you know what? We need to have that same mentality. My provider, my source. It's not my job. It's not my spouse. It's not my ability. It's not the government. It's not anything or anybody else other than the Lord. The Lord is my provider. I tell you, as long as you're confused about this, as long as you're mixed about this, it's always going to mess you up. You got to know that you know that you know nothing or nobody else is my provider. That's him. And so for some of us, this next part, what I'm going to say next, may be a little difficult to swallow, but just because it goes against the grain of our culture and what most of us have grown up thinking, but I'm going to say it anyway. You are not the provider of your home. God is your provider. I know. I'm the one that works and I bring home the bacon. Yeah, I get all that. But you need to understand this, that it is still God that provides. It's God that provided you the job. I'm just telling you that without his blessing, none of it happens. Every good thing in our life, it came from him. He's the one that provides. You're the steward of what God provides. He provides And he expects you to be a good steward of it. Now, sometimes, you know, people aren't good stewards of what God has provided for them. They're not good stewards of the opportunities that God has provided for them. But I'm just telling you, it is God that we need to see as the provider. We just get to be the steward over it for a little while. My provider. Oh, you need to get to the place where you can say that and know that you know that you know. My provider. He has the wealth. Now, that's something surely we can agree about, everybody can agree about, is that the one that the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to. Now, that's in the scripture many times. One of those is 1 Corinthians 10:26. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Everything, it all ultimately belongs to God. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He paves his streets with gold. I'm just telling you, he's got the wealth, the means to provide for you. It all belongs to him. I mean, you might have the title on that car or the title on that house, but guess what? It ultimately all belongs to him. Right. He has the wealth, the means to provide for you. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According to his riches in glory. I'm telling you, he's got the wealth. He can do it. But notice in this verse, it says, my God. You see, for the Apostle Paul, it was very personal. It wasn't something that he just knew about. It was something that he had experienced. And so he says, my God. You need to know him that way. He's my provider. And then he says, he shall supply. That means he's going to take care of it. Not just the little things, but the big things. Well, we need it the other way too, don't we? Not just the big things. The little things that God is going to supply all your needs. See, he has the wealth. My God shall. He has the willingness. See, a lot of people know that God could do it. They just don't think he will. Well, Paul said he would. We need to know that God has the willingness to provide for us. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Wow, what a promise. What a declaration from the word of God that the one who gave his son for us, how will he not also freely give us all things? He has the willingness to provide for his people. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's going to take care of all my needs. David knew him that way. He knew the Lord had the willingness. And he has the way. It's amazing how many different ways God can do something. You know what? One of the main ways that God provides for us is through a job. And what a blessing that can be. But it also is surprising and amazing how often God brings blessings in our lives in ways we never even imagined. But God has a way. He makes a way when it seems like there is no way. But understand this, that his way is different than man's way. Man's way is always about our efforts. It's about our wisdom or our strength, and it ends in our pride. Man's way too often is to try to get the best of others. It's to grab all you can. Well, I got to tell you, when your barns are full, this is man's way. When the barns are full, you build bigger barns. But remember what Jesus said about that man, this night your soul will be required of you. I'm just telling you, that's man's way. God's way is faith and obedience. That's God's way. When we walk in faith and obedience, you see, that is what Abraham modeled for us. That's what he showed us. That's what we learn from this story. If we will trust God and obey him, God will always make a way. He will always provide. would just trust him and obey. He has the wealth. He has the willingness. And he has the way. That's WWW, my provider, all right? I just want to help you remember this, that he has the wealth, he has the willingness, and he has the way. He is our provider for every need. It's so interesting to me. He provided a ram for Abraham. You need to know this. Abraham had a lot of rams. In fact, many, many years before this, in Genesis 13, 2, it says, Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. God had already blessed him. He was very rich. Very rich. You know anybody that's very rich? Well, Abram was very rich. And one of the ways that he was rich is he had lots of livestock. So I want you to understand that, yes, this was a material blessing, but that wasn't really all it was about. It was about much more than that. Abraham had lots of rams. And here's one of the things that we learn from this, is that in just the right moment, you see, here he is about to sacrifice his son, and the angel stops him. In just the right moment, God provides exactly what he needs. And so it is for us in our tests and trials that at just the right moment. Now, you know how we feel about that. We're like, no, right now is the right moment, God. Why don't we just go ahead and do this now? We would never have a test or trial, would we? But I'm telling you that in that test and the trial, what you're going through, when it seems like your faith is being stretched and challenged, you need to know that at just the right moment, God will provide exactly what you need. And he provided this ram. It wasn't only a material blessing. It was also a spiritual blessing that he provided this lamb for him to sacrifice and to worship. It had to be an emotional thing, an emotional blessing, because here he was ready to sacrifice his son, and instead God has provided this ram to be sacrificed. I'm just telling you, God knows exactly what we need, and we're not just talking about stuff. There's lots of things that are more important than stuff. But the Lord provides everything that we need in this life. Matthew 6, 8, Jesus says, your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. See, he already knows about your needs, and yet we're supposed to ask him and believe. We're supposed to trust him. He knows what we need emotionally. He knows what we need in relationships. You see, Abraham's greatest need was for this promised son that he had believed for so long. And he trusted God with that. Then later, he wants a wife for his son. And God provides a wife for his son. I just want you to know that God knows what you need, and he can provide what you need at exactly the right time. Many years ago, I went to Bible college. And while I was there, there was probably 500 spirit-filled girls looking for a preacher husband. But you know what? None of those were for me. I didn't really even date much. I mean, it just wasn't a thing. I didn't get distracted with that. And so I end up being a youth pastor in a small church. How am I going to meet my wife now? Then one Sunday night, a singing group from Fort Worth comes to our church, and somebody says, hey, I want you to meet this young lady. I said, okay. Well, nothing, I didn't meet her until, you know, went on out and was playing volleyball with the youth group, and then he brought her out there where I was playing volleyball, and so
25 teenagers gathered around real quick to watch me shake hands with Carmen. It's kind of weird. It gets weirder. It's when I called her 3 weeks later. I'm quick, aren't I? When I called her 3 weeks later and I said, "Hey, this is Mark Hill. Do you remember me?" She said, "No." I made an impression. But somehow or another, she ended up going out with me anyway. And I just want you to know that God provided for me the very best of the best at just the right time. It didn't come the way that you might have thought. It didn't, you know, I'm just telling you, God knows what we need right at the right time. He provides. And whatever that need is in your life, I'm just telling you, you need to look to the Lord as your provider. He knows what we need. He knows the things that we care about. You know, it's amazing that the first miracle that Jesus ever did, or at least it's recorded in the scripture, is at the wedding in Cana of Galilee when they run out of wine. I mean, it wasn't some big healing. It wasn't some, you know, mighty deliverance. He turned the water into wine so that this couple wouldn't be embarrassed at their wedding. I'm just telling you that God cares about the things that we care about, and He knows what we need, and we need to look to Him always as our provider. He provides what we need. Matthew 6, 31 through 34 says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?" I'm telling you, He provides for our physical needs. Most of us don't worry too much about those things, although I think right now people seem to be a lot more worried about material things. But notice this, verse 32, he says, "For after all these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, they'll be added to you." And you know, there's two extremes theologically when it comes to provision. Number one, there are people that say that God doesn't do that. Well, they haven't read the Bible. Because all through the scripture, God provides for His people and blesses His people. The other extreme is people who take the gospel and they try to use it as just another way to fulfill their covetousness. Well, they need to read the rest of the Bible, because covetousness is idolatry. And God has no part in that. No, He's our provider. We look to Him, and He always takes care of us. 2001, I had left a church, a position as pastor at a church, and was unemployed for a season. And at the beginning of 2001, I was offered a position at a church to be the secretary receptionist for $6 an hour. And you know, being a 41-year-old man and having a wife and two kids, I said no, because I'm like, I can't provide for my family that way. And then I prayed about it, and the Lord put it on my heart that that's what I was supposed to do. And I want you to know, it was really humbling for me, not just because of the hourly pay, but because I had been in full-time ministry for over 20 years. And so it was very humbling for me to take that position. And just about the time, just a couple of months later, just about the time when I thought, you know, this ain't going to work, I'm going to have to tell them I got to get, you know, a job where I can provide for my family, then the Lord changed that situation where I became the full-time youth pastor. Well, you know how that is. Then, as a full-time youth pastor, I was making the big money. Yeah, that happens a lot, doesn't it? Full-time youth pastors. Pray for them. But somehow, in the provision of God, I was able to buy both of my teenage kids a car and even pay the car insurance on it. Oh yeah, that's a thing, isn't it? And somehow, we had three horses in our backyard, just saying. And I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying, though. I'm not bragging. I'm bragging on God. That in many times when things are lean and it seems like there's not a way, our God makes a way. We just need to learn again and again that He is our provider. And by the way, the house that we lived in, that was about 3.5 years that we lived in that house, and we sold that house for a 50% profit. And by the housing market wasn't like it is today, where it was going up so fast. But in that housing market, we sold that house for a 50% profit. And I'm just telling you, the Lord is always abundant in His provision for us. He takes care of us. So how do we receive God's provision? It takes faith with works. Listen, not faith and works. It takes faith with works. It's a certain kind of faith. And by the way, faith with works, that's what works. When you have faith with works. Now, James tells us in chapter 2 that faith without works is dead. It's not enough just to say we believe. Our actions have to back it up. And man, did Abraham ever back his up. In fact, James chapter 2 uses this very story of Abraham and Isaac as an example. And he says that Abraham was justified by his obedience. It wasn't just that he believed, but it was that he acted on it. And we need to remember that if we really trust God as our provider, then we'll act on that. We'll obey Him in whatever He tells us to do. It's got to be a living faith for us to really know Him as Jehovah Jireh. And we act on it. We obey Him. We trust Him. 1 Kings chapter 17, it tells a story about when there was a great famine in the land. It was during that drought that brought revival. But Elijah gets a word from the Lord. You see, God is going to provide for the man of God, and so Elijah gets a word from the Lord to go to Zarephath, and he tells him that there's a widow there that's going to provide for him. You see, oftentimes God's provision may bring you to a place of humility. That's not a bad thing. It might be a hard thing, and we might not like it, but the man of God went to a poor, not a rich widow, a poor widow. But you know what? It wasn't just to take care of him, but it was to take care of her. Because when Elijah gets there, he sees this woman. He says, get me a drink of water. And he says, by the way, bring me a piece of that bread in your hand. And she says, look, I'm just now gathering sticks to make some bread. It's the very last that we have. And I'm going to make some bread from this little bit of flour, this little bit of oil. And then my son and I, we're going to eat it and we're going to die. That's how bad it was. And I'll tell you right now, I know there's a lot of people that are hurting in our country. I want you to know that God is still God in the midst of famine and in the midst of recession and whatever else it is, that He is still our provider. And more than ever, you see, we need to look to Him. And I think some people are getting that right now. It's through that test and that trial that they're seeing something they hadn't seen before, that you got to look to God as your provider and not a job and not a man and not the government, but it's God who's a provider. And Elijah told this woman the word of the Lord. He said, if you will make me a cake and bring it to me. He said, then the flour will not run out and the oil will not run out until this whole thing is over. I want you to know God is able to do that. What little you have, maybe you just got a little bit coming in. God is able to make it last all the way through what you're going through. That's the hand of God. That's the power of God. That's the provider who has the wealth and the willingness and the way. So often we miss it because we don't realize that He's our source. He's our provider. And God provided not only for Elijah, but for that poor widow and her son. She was willing
to obey in faith. And that's what it takes. We just obey the Lord in faith. Now, this message is not at all a message about giving, but I can't help but mention giving, because so often it is in our giving that we show our faith by our obedience. Here's just a couple of verses from Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Plenty and overflow. You know what? I don't know if that would qualify us as rich by the world standards, but what I do know is that plenty and overflow means more than enough. It's more than just enough. And you know why God gives us more than just enough? Because He wants us to be a blessing to others. It isn't right that even a lot of God's people don't seem to understand that He is our provider. You see, God doesn't provide for everybody. Well, just look around at the world. I'm telling you, you can see people in desperate need all around the world. And this isn't something new. There are always people in desperate need because they're not looking to God as their provider. They're looking to some false god, or they're looking to man or their own selves. They're looking somewhere besides God, who is our provider. But even many believers are not really looking to God as provider. Too much pride. Too much trust in other things. Here's a strange verse from Haggai 1 and 9. He says, the Lord says, you looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Wow. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Now, you're in trouble when the Lord blows it away, because He's our provider. And if He blows it away, you're in a whole world of hurt. But these people, these were God's people, and yet they were focused on themselves. They didn't care about the things of God. They weren't seeking God first. They were seeking stuff. They were seeking their own benefit. And God said, I'm just going to blow it away. I have to tell you, as pastor of Grace Church, I feel so blessed that I pastor a church body where the people obey God, where they really believe that God is the provider, where they really are seeking first the kingdom. And I tell you, God has blessed this church through the faith and obedience of His people. He's not blowing it away. He's blessing. And God is our provider. Before we built this building, when we got ready to build the building, and we went to lots of different banks and organizations and said, hey, we need to borrow a little bit of money. And they all said, no, the numbers don't add up. Until finally we found one local bank here in town that would loan us the money. And so we set that up on a 20-year note so it wouldn't be too big of a burden. It's a 20-year note. Took us 5.5 years to pay off that note. I want to tell you, the Lord is our provider. He provides for His church through the faithfulness, the faith and obedience of His people. And oh, how He has blessed this church, and it has positioned us where we can focus on ministry and missions. where more and more and more, we don't have to be concerned about material things, but we're going to be able to do more for the kingdom. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness and all that other stuff. It'll be added in. But I'm just bragging on you. I'm just saying, church, we are blessed because we have faith and we obey. And I want to go back to Genesis 22 one more time. Verse 15 through 18, it says, "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies, and your seed, all the nations of the earth, shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice.'" That's what happens when in faith and trust we obey God. And when you're talking about provision and you hear these words, blessing, multiplication, possession, that means something big. I'm telling you, God had great things in store for Abraham. It was beyond what he could have imagined in the natural. God tried to communicate it to him. It's going to be so big, it's like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. He said, "Because you've done this, because you've obeyed me." And I just want to encourage you that if you'll just have faith and obey the Lord, God will take care of you beyond what you have imagined. He's a big God, and it's not hard for Him. No matter what He tells you to do, no matter where He leads, no matter what the circumstances, what it looks like, God will provide if you'll have faith and obey Him. You know, I like to always say, if it's His will, He'll get the bill. That's right. Some years ago, my daughter Leslie comes to me and she says, I want to go to TCU and get my master's degree. And I just kind of bit my tongue because, you know, I didn't want to speak words of doubt and unbelief, and I didn't want to discourage her, so I didn't say anything because I'm thinking, I don't know where that money's coming from because I ain't got it. Well, it wasn't just a few weeks later, she comes back and she says, I got a $60,000 scholarship. You know what? My thinking changed. All of a sudden, I'm thinking, you know what? This must be God's will because He's getting the bill. He's providing. He's making the way. Sometimes it doesn't always happen that quick. But I'm just telling you that if it's His will, God will take care of you. You just stay focused on obeying God and doing what He wants. And I want to say one more time, He provides for all our needs. Listen, He is able to provide friends. He's able to provide a husband, a wife, a job, money for college, purpose for your life, fulfillment, peace, joy, strength, health, healing. Whatever you need, He is your provider. None of those things are hard for the possessor of heaven and earth. My provider, my provider, my provider. Oh, you need to get that down in your spirit where you know it, that you know it, that you know it. My provider. You know what happens when you really know that? You don't worry anymore. You don't have to worry. You know, worry, that's when you have a conversation with yourself about things you can't change. You are supposed to pray. That's where you have a conversation with God who can change anything. But, you know, when somebody just says, hey, don't worry, that doesn't ever really seem to help much, does it? Except maybe, what if it's the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 6? 3 times He says, do not worry. Do not worry. You're not supposed to worry. And if you know that your Father is providing for you, that He's taking care of you, you don't have to worry. Say, oh, you don't know how bad it is. You don't have to worry because your God is big enough and He has the wealth, He has the will, and He has the way to provide for you. So don't worry. He made it so clear, if we'll seek His kingdom first and His righteousness, He'll take care of everything else. When you know Him as provider, you know what? It makes you humble because you know that no matter how smart you are, no matter how hard you work, it can all be gone in just a moment. It is the blessing of the Lord. We walk humbly before our God because we know that for His blessing on our lives, we wouldn't have anything. You see, when you really know He's your provider, it's not you, it's Him. You walk in humility, it makes you humble. And when you really know that the Lord is your provider, it makes you thankful. It's not, I earned this and I deserve that. It's that everything good in my life came from the Father of lights, with it whom there's no shadow of turning. I'm telling you, everything good, every good gift, it came from Him. You would like to say, what if tomorrow the only thing you had was what you were thankful for today? I think that's one of the lessons that some of us can learn from what's going on in our country, the crisis that we face right now, is that in just a moment, we figure out all of a sudden how much we have to lose, how much we have to be thankful for, and how easy some of those things we took for granted can be gone. And so whatever we have, we know that He's our provider. We're thankful, grateful. Every day, we acknowledge that it's Him. Well, that was the heart of Abraham. He wasn't going to let anybody else take credit. He knew it was God that had blessed him. And we need to always know that. Always be humble. Always be thankful. And stop that worrying. I tell you, some of you, God wants you to get free from that this morning. He wants you to lay that down. Turn it over to Him, that care, that burden. Cast it over on Him. We're going to pray right now. And I just encourage you right where you are, in your own way, you talk to the Lord. And you establish this in your heart forever, that you can say, my provider, my provider. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that more and more and more we learn to trust you. Father, I know that you are ever faithful, that you always do exactly what you say that you will do. And Lord, you have promised that you'll take care of us, that you'll provide everything that we need. And Father, I just pray for your people right now, Lord, that those that have been struggling, those that are hurting right now, Lord, that right now, Lord, they don't see how they can manage, how they can do this. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for a breakthrough for them, Lord, that begins in their spirit this morning, in the name of Jesus, that they're free from that burden. They're free from that weight on their shoulders in the name of Jesus. Oh, and Father, I pray there would that yoke, that light, that light yoke, that light burden, that easy yoke, Lord, that would just come on them in the name of Jesus, that they'll find rest for their souls. I thank you for it, Father. Lord, as we just learn to trust you more as our provider, my provider, my provider, my provider. Oh, say it to him, my provider, my provider. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.